Johnny, good morning.
Stevie, time to get back cooking in the kitchen.
You bet. Wait till you see. We'll do the official photography for Metropolitan Home and Architectural Record and all the magazines that'll be carrying the remodel photos.
I look forward to that. we did have a wonderful time down at Gulfstream Park for the Pegasus, and everyone saw the race and saw the turf race, and we know how those turned out. But overall, I didn't get to see the NBC show, so I don't know how much they covered. Some of the other events that are going on at the track, this is a conscious effort to make it more of a party atmosphere, to attract young people to an event in conjunction with racing. And when it first started, when this Pegasus first started, there were the big purses that everyone certainly got everyone's attention. And now, since the big purses have been lessened responsibly, I believe, and at the same time, the party atmosphere has been revved up. So it's turned into, it actually this year felt like a real event. It's kind of progressed. This was the fourth Pegasus, but it really felt like there was a vibe. There was a younger crowd, for sure, a different crowd, for sure. And more expensive in some areas than others, but it's a different thing. We can't look at it as racing as we know it for the past, 50 years. It's a totally different approach to an event. And I think the racing spoke for itself. I think the racing was very enjoyable, especially for those who won. But the card was good. The weather was fantastic. And, of course, that always helps. But I don't even want to call it the social seating, and I guess you could. The activities away from the racing or besides the racing in the village areas they have there constructed different layers. And this is before the rappers came on, the musical acts, the rappers came on later after the races. It's not, those shows aren't during the races, they're after the races for anyone who hasn't been there. And they take place up the stretch, the eighth pole area, and it's that's a whole different thing. And you'll notice later in the day, the crowd that starts to come in, you see people who are coming in just for the entertainment. But all afternoon long, there were young people there, wagering, drinking, having a good time, laughing, taking pictures, the whole shebang. And, they had the red carpet, or actually the blue carpet, out for the celebrities to walk. And Gail and I were over there standing up in one of the structures on the roof. And I said, let's stand over by this rail here, because then you can see the red carpet or the blue carpet. You can see the celebrities are coming in. Because my wife loves the pop culture. She loves the celebrities, and she loves others more than some more than others. So I said, we can stand here. And I think 2 years ago, we didn't go last year because of my health issues, but 2 years ago, she was able to speak with Carson Kressley. Many of you fans will know him. He's also a Breeders' Cup ambassador. He's a horseman. He likes horses. So he attends these events often. And she got to speak with him. She was excited about that. And then she saw one of her favorite influencers. And this is a whole new world to me. Hey, you know, when I was growing up, an influencer was a guy who came to your house with a baseball bat trying to collect money. he was an influencer. But now we have it, it's done online, and it's, I guess, people who endorse products, and they have a following, a massive following, and they get paid for it. So she met one of her favorite endorsers on Instagale. I call it Instagale. It's Instagram, but I call it Instagale. So I said, look, maybe we'll see somebody. Stand up here, maybe we'll see somebody. I knew Vin Diesel was scheduled to be there. And so we stood there, and we're looking down on the blue carpet, and I see kind of a flurry of excitement down there. People moving around quicker than they did before. And I said to her, I said, oh, someone big is coming, because I see movement. And walking out of down the blue carpet comes J-Lo and her children, and right behind them, A-Rod and his children. And, of course, they've got security all around them, and they turn into the village area. And we're thinking that they're going to go to the higher end, more exclusive structure, which is further up towards the turn, not too far, but further up. And they make a turn and they go right under where we're standing. And I said there, I said, I think they're coming up here. And sure enough, they came right up the steps, and we were standing at the top of the steps. I mean, and they walked, you know, right by us. And one thing I was impressed is how big A-Rod was. I didn't realize he was a biggie. He's a big fella. But Gail and J-Lo, I mean, that's one of her favorites. And for her to see her up close with the family, oh, and follow her, oh, all the way from the blue all the way upstairs, it was, oh, she's over the moon. So, of course, with her so happy and excited, that made the Pegasus for me, you know, because when your wife's having a good time, it's a lot easier for you to have a good time. And so it was really enjoyable. It wasn't overcrowded. It was crowd. I mean, there were people there, but it wasn't jam-packed. And now, I don't know, some other people may have had different experiences than I had and Gail had, but people we talked to afterwards, like I'd say, hey, how was it about? I was saying, what do you think? Very positive reactions. And that's a good sign. I mean, we need some good news around here every once in a while. And the way the race turned out, great news there. This race from the Sally Cup being placed on the schedule. Okay, you knew that Pegasus was going to take a ding. Then the late announcement of the change in the purse structure and no medication. That, you know, was, some people were not happy with. The perfection of Spun to Run was like, oh, man, you know, I can't believe it. Well, we knew something was wrong because Arad Ortiz jumped off of Spun to Run to ride backwards horse. So there was a hint that all may not be right in the Spun to Run camp. And that the backward horse must be training very well for a jock to make a switch like that. So it was saying one of two things or both things. And then when we lost Omaha Beach, I don't know, you thought, well, this race is just, you know, there's not much to dig into now. You know, it's become a bit empty. That was an initial reaction for many. And hey, facts are facts. the Russia 2 starting morning line favorites in a $3 million race. Yes, that never happened. And here it was. You know, the old story, we often talk about it, and you hear trainers talk about it. Don't be afraid if you have one horse to beat. But if you have two horses you can't beat, well, maybe you should find a different spot. Well, in this case, two of them scratched, so it didn't matter. But as the race turned out, for all the pain arriving at the race, boy, Mucho Gusto put on a show. I mean, he sat back. He got a fantastic ride from Murat Ortiz, breaking from the 10 hole, getting over to the rail, and then taking back, settling. Not really. He didn't fight his horse to get back. He just let him settle a little. He let the pace setters go in front of him, and he was licking his chops about the whole way. And he said this horse takes a little while to get going. But when he got going, whew, he put in a tremendous kick. So that was exciting. And Dale's horse ran well to be second. No threat to the winner. And War Story. Now, this was one of the great stories of the race, was War Story. The whole the Band of Brothers connection to the owner, John Guarneri, and his family and their history. And so this was one of the great stories of the race. And the horse closed solidly. It was a very nice finish from him. And here's his, I think, his date now. It's great to see a horse run like that. The not-so-good part of the race was Sadler's horse, Higher Power, who was, you know, in contention early and then just steadily dropped back. That's the kind of performance where I said to myself, I hope he didn't bleed. You know, I hope he didn't bleed. I hope he didn't like the track, because those are the kinds of the way horses run when they don't like the track. One of the ways. So to be in the race, but when it's crunch time, when they have to get a hold of it and really propel themselves, they don't handle it and they drop back. They just kind of give up. And the rider, if it's a good horse, the rider doesn't persevere with him, and they drop back out of it and finish last. But I heard after the race that he did not bleed. So, again, and I didn't hear of anyone else who did.
Now, tax, it appears, has bled and bled badly, apparently.
Okay. So if we're going in this direction of no Lasix and no race day medication, that's going to occur, because that's why we use it in the first place. And so when we stop using it, it's going to occur. Is it going to occur often? We hope not. Horses raced a long time without Lasix, and there are arguments, why they need it. Well, you come down either side on the argument. But I was just glad to see that it wasn't a terrible problem on this particular day. I guess if you're taxes people, you'd argue. You'd say, well, yeah, it was a problem. It was a serious problem. So, we're going to have that a little bit if we go in that direction. Anyway, all things considered, the graduation of a horse who he showed possibility. He certainly was a good horse, but he never made that step forward to be he wasn't a top 3-year-old. He was, I would say, just below the top level. He was maybe two flights down. He just never made out. The way he was training for the race, wow. You know, he was training lights out. If you watched any of his workouts on XBTV, wow, he was training lights out. And when you see the moves to Rat Ortiz, and you just think, Baffert doesn't ride him, but he is the, you know, he's the best rider, the most award-winning rider we've got right now, and the leading rider at Gulfstream. You know, all signals pointed to this horse being ready to fire a big race, and he did. Now, the next thing people are going to say, well, the field after the top two scratches wasn't much. Okay, you want to say that? Okay. Can't particularly argue with you. It would have been a tougher race with Omaha Beach, for sure, and fun to run. But this horse can only beat who he's been with, and the way he finished, he looked really good to me. He looked like he's matured. The way he relaxed, I was impressed with that. And the way he kicked and left them behind, I was impressed with that. So, that was good. In the turf race, talk about your splendid ride. Tyler Gaffleon, just gave Zulu Alpha just, I mean, a rail skimming, perfect trip. You know, we talk about turf races. You like to quote the famous the line that one turf race where one horse wins and eight should have. This particular time, this guy got through, but the way he kicked when he got through, I think he was the winner no matter what. It was just his day. Although, if you take part of the wide trip, that I noticed in the race, somebody asked, who do you like in the turf race? I said, what's funny about the race is I thought that the three top contenders were all drawn on the outside. And we all know turf racing, that's not the place to be. I didn't come up with Zulu Alpha, but those who did, I kind of understand it. Because I thought you had Mo Forza, Sacred Life, and Magic Wand drawn in the 10, 11, 12 holes. And that's not the place to be in turf racing. It's not the place to be in some dirt racers, too, but certainly in turf racing, that's a tough way to start the afternoon. Anyway, great ride. Hats off. What a fantastic job Mike Maker's done with this horse. Thanks for $80,000 and now won the $1 million Pegasus World Cup Turf Invitational, and great job by Tyler Gaffleon. So that's kind of the highlights of my Saturday, Steve, and I thought Pegasus was really well done this year, and the racing was good and enjoyable. The weather was outstanding, couldn't have been better. Fabulous. What did I miss?
If you want to, we're going to talk to Todd Pletcher later. The two maiden races that he won, that market analysis. I think people have kind of missed that performance. Pretty darn nice debut, going 7/8. So a pretty good jumping off point. There was some other, I just had Kent Sweezy, who was terrific, talking about Fat Man's win. Graham Motion yesterday joined us about Mean Mary. I haven't had a chance to reach Suge. Pink Sands got some pace to run at. And I tell you, she loves that racetrack. I think she's 4 for 5 now, Pink Sands at Gulfstream. And we had a fun conversation with Brian Lynch about Spooky Channel had really made a sneaky, had run a sneaky race in the Fort Lauderdale. It was a full, complete day. It had everything. I thought, Johnny, what was strange to some degree, other than, you know, obviously Spooky Channel's big price, there was only one favorite that won on the day. Market Analysis, the only winning favorite.
I was laughing because I thought about our conversation. If it wasn't last week, it was the week before. I can't remember which. When we talked about favorites and how Gulfstream and Santa Anita had been on a run of a lot of favorites winning. And we talked about some of the, you know, reasons why that might be. And we also said how this could turn around, and it probably will turn around, because that percentage of winning favorites has got to has got to move up. It's just, it's going to happen. History tells us that it's going to move up. And then I was laughing because I thought very often these big days very often go to the name trainers, name riders, favorites. A lot of times these big days go that route. But this one didn't have any of that. This one had a good mix, you know, and some prices. And, you know, it was really, how about the pick six? Two winning tickets. They almost had it. Gulfstream almost had it scooped out from under again.
Yeah. Yeah. And we haven't talked about that. For those that that didn't see the payout, when it came to the two tickets that Mucho Gusto, luckily, I mean, for everybody that then cashed for $11,000 on Sunday, the two people that walked away with $394,000, I mean, that was a, you know, that's better than a, you know, a most pick six payoffs under normal conditions. You know, if they have two people cash for $394,000, I have not seen any subsequent updates about where those tickets came from, etc. But that was some payday on you know, the what essentially is the consolation in the format of the jackpot bet.
Yeah, amazing. And then the pool on Sunday, certainly. You know what else was going on Saturday that was really good to see? The handicapping competition, the handicapping challenge at Gulfstream, which was Saturday races, 6,000 to enter, 5,000, 1,000 entry fee, 5,000 to play with. And they had a really good crowd. I think they had upwards of 250 players, maybe, and a great turnout at Gulfstream on track. And you had Nate Newby from Santa Anita and Tom Quigley in town to help administer the contest and to help talk with players and exchange pleasantries with some of our VIP players. It was great to see the handicappers get together, which you're going to see when next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend at the NHC. It's always great when horse players get together and you share a common bond of trying to beat the race. And players moved all around in the facility. They were located. We had in the Express Bet Select Suite. We had a number of our higher end players who were in the competition, and they were, you know, talk. It wasn't just talking about what to do. You know, what did you have in this race? It was what did you have, and what did that do for you? And where did you move on the board, and what the leader got, and you know, so there was that. In addition to all the great stuff that we just talked about. So there's a little something for everyone. For example, my wife had a great time at the races, right? And that's not always the case. There's been many times where, I take that back because she always has a good time, but sometimes they're better than others. Many times she sits there with, you know, as I play the races, looking at the form or whatever, and she sits there all day. This time there was something for her. There was something extra. There was, you know, a vibe. And that's different. It's different. It's a new thing. You know, it looks like it's really, really worked out.
Nice. Nice, Johnny. I could tell you were having a great time. I told everybody yesterday. It was obvious. You mentioned the Pegasus Betting Challenge and Brian Schenvert and his father, the craziest. It's so funny how, you know, sometimes the contest scene will produce, you know, certain oddities. This is one very well known in the contest circles, and the Schenvert were hailed, given how familiar they are to everybody. So Brian holds off Father Bill to win, and I'm sure we'll talk tomorrow quite a bit about it, and with Pete, and then we'll get to them in person in Vegas as well. A lot of that, you know, a lot of that coming up. Talk about, Johnny, the Sunday action, and you stayed for another day, and I referenced as I was going to the break, the toughest horse, the 25-1 shot, that paid $51.40, that baby monster for Joe Orsino, and I was just, I wasn't going to hit this anyway because I wasn't crazy about African Heritage in the nightcap, and also from a budget standpoint, I wanted to try to get the first timer from Chad, you know, wanted to get that, try to get that one home, that Lonesome Fugitive. But so I wasn't hitting no matter what. But Baby Monster, even if you just bet Baby Monster on the nose, there was money to be made, and I saw that she was live on the sheets. She fit on number power on Thoroughgraph, on the form ratings. She was the top horse in the form ratings. And I just went against and left off, and I saw what was happening in slow motion, and I thought, oh boy, you know, here's the bug, you know, here's the bug Torres, that Joe O went with, and, missed a big opportunity, you know, and at the very least, if I had gone ahead and used Baby Monster in my own analysis, it might have helped other people. I felt like I absolutely whiffed on a horse that absolutely, that this is really the kind of horse that's my, you know, that I sniff out. And for me to leave that horse off, I just felt like an idiot.
Well, you weren't alone. I didn't have no Baby Monsters either. I have to tell you, I didn't particularly sniff it out as strongly as you suggested you did. There were some things look at the race itself. It was an $8,000 claimer, and you know, some things. Yeah, these races is more about who feels good on that particular day. But we go off the form and we look at what they've done in the past. There were some things that look, she would have been a reach. But as you say, you like those kind of reaches, and certainly as a horse player, I didn't like the 0-for-6 at the track. I didn't like the 1-for-last 10 with only, you know, of course, the 1-for-last 10 came reasonably recent, and it was, you know, probably against better horses, but it was at Gulfstream Park West. I didn't like the 0-for-6 at the Gulfstream Park East. and the 3-for-18 is the distance. Look, it's a reach horse. I didn't see it. You maybe, you know, saw it. Should I have seen it? I should have seen it better, but I didn't recognize it. I had 4 out of 6. That's the last winner and this Baby Monster. Will and his son put in a ticket together, and they were live to 6 horses in the last race, but did not have the winner. I can't remember how many times that's happened to me. You know, it has got to be the most frustrating thing in the world when you get to the last leg of a pick six, you've got a bunch of horses, but here's a horse taking money. I mean, this horse got bet like, I think it went off at 3-1, maybe?
Yeah. Yep. Second choice.
Acacia made a great case for this horse. Acacia Courtney, the analyst, one of the Gulfstream analysts, made a great a case for this horse before the race, but you know what? It's too late then. You know, it's like,
yeah, of course, of course.
The train is already 2 feet from you. You know, you can't get out of the way. It just runs through. And then some people say, well, you know, you could say that you're in that position. Not really. They weren't gigantic payoffs, and we're going to be gigantic payoffs. I mean, this one was, well, almost, what, 12,000, 11,000, 12,000.
11,000 to change, yeah.
Yeah, some people who had an express bet, which you would expect. We had at least four tickets that had it, and they actually they ranged in price from. This gives you some idea of what people put into it, from almost $1,300 to $5,000 is what the tickets were that hit this. So with that with that kind of money, you can cover at 20 cents a pop. You can cover quite a few horses. And that was among our regular players, in among our higher end players, our select players. We had a ticket who, and when you look at what the select wagers are, you have to understand that these are very often pieces of bigger investments. Which we talked about that before. Very often, it's an ABC ticket, or now it's even more advanced than that. It's, you know, some type of a multiple, and this is one of the sequences. But they had this particular account had a single in every race and hit the pitch six. Now, that's unusual enough. And this is on Sunday, what we've been talking about. But the ticket had it seven times. So the ticket was $1.40 total bet. And it got back $81,204. Now, you know that's a piece of a bigger wager.
Right. Many, many tickets, no doubt. No doubt. But
if that ticket appears on the other end of the lower volume players, either somebody played a phone number, or, you know, somebody's age is, or they just got lucky. But when you see it with the higher level players, you understand that it's probably part of a larger sequence of wagers. But similarly, on Sunday, in the larger sequence of race of wagers in the heavy players, there was a $2 pick. When you pick the first five, it's been a super high five. $2 super high five. The ticket cost $2. The one horse in each race. And the return was $31,748. That was a return on investment of $1,587,400. Now, you also look at, and they've got a $2, and they've got it twice. And I paid almost $16,000. They had it twice. And I don't know anyone who plays the super high five on a regular basis. I don't know anyone. Personally, I don't personally know anyone. Do you?
Not that advertises it. We've brought it up and discussed it at trying to figure out the best approach, and it's been talked about as, you know, an exacta box over a try box, essentially, as the way to approach it. But no, I don't know anybody who is, you know, famous for attacking it. I do know the storyline that where it came from those Santa Anita, you know, years ago from the Santa Anita focus group, with players where the superfecta players felt disenfranchised by the 10 cents denomination, and that it had taken away a very lucrative pool from players that, you know, the $1 superfecta, the original incantation, and they created the super high five with the carryover provisions specifically out of those discussions. And that story goes back, what now, probably 8-9 years, easily, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, just for edification here, and if you look at it, you look at the results, you think, it's not particularly crazy. It was the fifth race on Sunday, and I had the first four down. Let's see. First, the winner paid $680. The second horse was $680 to $1. The third horse was 22 to 1. The fourth horse was almost 18 to 1, and the fifth horse was 8 to 1. So you had a reasonable. The favorite actually won the race. The second horse was, it looks like, maybe the fourth choice. And then you had a couple of big price horses, and then an 8-to-1 shot in the fifth spot. But for $2, almost $32,000 payoff. And then a ticket that caught my eye from the retail players, a pick four that was made, that was Saturday at Gulfstream. A pick four that was 3 by 3 by 3 by 2. It was a
54.
It was a dollar ticket. It was $54. You had Pink Sands at $12.60. Spooky Channel was obviously the tough one, $74.60. You had Zulu Alpha $25.60 and Mucho Gusto at $8.80. But you know, I like that style of ticket. It hits, it's not too much money, $54. You're 3 by 3 by 3 by 2. I guess kind of when I looked at it, I thought, gee, you know, it's a really nice layout. I may start incorporating that as just a layout model. Because if you can't get the winner in three using three horses, you probably need to use them all. You know, and if you can't afford to use them all.
Well, it depends on field size, too. I mean, you're talking about, some races that, you know, that had 12 and 14 horses. And so, you know, going three deep, very, you know, is reasonable. I knew that to me, the turf, the Pegasus turf, was a race that I knew I wanted to be deep. I wasn't worried about the the dirt race. To me, it was higher power and Mucho Gusto, and who was the third? I forget who was the third that I used, but who was the third? Now you made me Mucho Gusto. No, I went Mucho Gusto, higher power, and I blew it on. After talking about Mr. Freeze all week, I then proceeded to leave him out, which I felt like an idiot. Maybe Tax. Did I use Tax as the third? No. I think I did, actually. Tax was my third horse. But
well,
I
think we
No, the turf. The turf, to me, there were literally... you know, 6, 7, 8 horses you felt that if you envisioned the chart, you could see winning. Zulu, yeah. Magic Wand, Sacred Life, Arklo, Sadler, Mo Forza, Without Parole. That's 7. And yeah. None of those 7 would have been a surprise.
Not at all. Yeah, and I think we discussed this when the first reduction for the Pegasus was announced, we had a discussion about, you know, what effect it would have. Well, yeah, if you can't compete with 20 million that's now on the scene, that's fine. Maybe we'll get a more interesting race. Maybe we'll get a 12-horse field or 10 horse field, and we did. We had a really interesting race till we lost two stars, two morning line favorites, the top two morning line choices. That was a really interesting, and it's still, even after that, the winner was 3-1. So it was an interesting race. It was more entertaining than, look, it was more of a coronation with Arrogate and Gunrunner and City of Light. It was like, you know, farewell. Have a great career, stud. Thanks for the last flip on the screen. Take all this money with you while you go. Now, we've had the emergence of possibly a star for this season. We had an eight-year-old run, you know, finish with a flourish to finish third. We had Mr. Freeze run a good race. You know, there was more to it. So it was all better. I think it's all better. Did we miss Maximum Security and McKenzie? Yeah, I did. But you're not going to get them. When there's 20 million out there, you're not going to get them. And the turf race was, I thought it was a tremendous handicap, just like you said, a tremendous challenge. And it turned out to be an interesting race. And the winner got the dream trip of a lifetime.
Well, Johnny, we got to move forward. I got to get John White, Jeremy Plonk, and Todd Pletcher in this morning. So how about a quick review of Beat the Host? And Jeff Siegel had a couple of pops and probably knocked a few people out. What was the read?
Yeah, the quick read of Beat the Host. I mean, Jeff Siegel, 35.50 was his total. The prize winner, first prize, Bill Colgan, 190.50, he gets $1,000. Robert Raimondo, 157 with his earnings, he gets 750. John Williams, third, 143.50, he gets $250. The Sweet Those candidates, Mr. Siegel with a return of 35.50, knocked out 95 players. We're down to 117 players alive for Sweep the Host. And in total winnings, the cumulative total, Ruben Ginobili is in front, $342. I know I'm not pronouncing that name correctly. I'm sorry. Luke Kotzman, second, $310. Richard Sherman, $301. Paul Diaz, $289. Matthew Keogh, $288.50. Play Beat the Host at ExpressBet.com. $5 win wager, live win wager, on one horse in each of 10 competition races. And this week, the host to beat is none other than Steve Bick, the host of At the Races with Steve Bick. If you don't listen to it, you should. And if you don't listen to it, you didn't hear me. Just say that.
Well, I will be.
It's a good weekend. You've got the Holy Bull in Gulfstream. You've got the race in Santa Anita.
And I'll be there. I'll be at Santa Anita. And
I know.
They'll draw. What's today's Tuesday? So we're drawing tomorrow, and we'll see what we can come up with. But I think both of the 3-year-old stakes, I think both the Lewis and the Holy Bull are coming up. Smallish and top heavy is a good word for it. But there'll be other. There'll be maiden races probably to look at.
Yes.
We'll put together 10 nice ones. All right?
Do your best, young man. And I'm glad your eyes, what a tremendous story that is.
It's you couldn't make it up. I mean, it's very, very strange. I mean, I literally 2 weeks ago was despondent, frankly. And so to have this turnaround is really amazing. Very pleased. Johnny, thank you. And we'll talk to you. I'll still be in L.A. when we talk next week.
Same time, though.
Yes, for me. For me, it'll be 7 a.m. Pacific. Johnny D, everybody, XB Johnny D, and Beat the Host continues with me on Saturday. Take a break here. We've got 50 minutes exactly, so I'm going to have to we're going to have to sprint to the wire. John White, Jeremy Plonk, T.A. Pletcher, T. Pletch, before we wrap up today. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
At the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 years old and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. Every morning is brightened by Courtney Love. She's a ray of sunshine. I tell you, I've got Matt Hegarty's feed on my computer screen, and John White will join us, and I can't spend a lot of time getting annoyed about this, but it is unbelievable, the hyperbole and the distortion. I mean, nobody can just simply discuss these topics reasonably. Marty Irby, head of a lobbying group called Animal Wellness Actions, this is what they're putting in front of Congress, claims in his testimony that catastrophic injuries are at an epidemic level. Actually, they're actually at the lowest point in years since we've been publishing the numbers. Okay, so catastrophic injuries, epidemic. No, actually, It's actually in the other direction. And the sport is plagued by rampant doping. More, I mean, just the it's as if they can't discuss this with any reasonable argument. It has to be the over the top lies and misrepresentations. It's disgusting. It's incredible, and it's time not just to push back, but to punch a couple of noses. Infuriating.